Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. As we enter the final weeks of 2022, it's time for a bit of a Takeaway Holiday Book Club. And we begin today with a book that asks, what makes you, you? I mean, how did you end up with that body sense of humor, that sharp intellect, your ease with new languages, or your love of strawberry jam? Was it mapped by the phenomenal intricacies of your genetic code? Or was it crafted by the way you were parented, how you were taught, where you lived, and what you did? For more than a century, researchers have used studies of identical twins to understand the differing contributions of genetics and the environment.
Ha Wen and Isabella Salamini are identical twins, but they did not grow up together. Separated shortly after birth, they barely knew of each other until they were preteens.
This curiosity about what makes us who we are and how twins reveal pieces of that puzzle lies at the heart of Somewhere Sisters.
In Vietnam, Ha was adopted as an infant by two women, one of whom is her biological aunt. The women built a life together as romantic and domestic partners, raising their child. Ha's aunt worked as a village babysitter, while her other adoptive mother worked in the rice paddies. An only child in her household, Ha grew up in the coastal mountains with sparse electricity and seasonal monsoons. A wealthy white family in Illinois adopted Isabella, along with another child from the same orphanage, whom they named Olivia. Isabella and Olivia are not biologically related. The family gave both girls their last name, replacing their Vietnamese names with Western ones. My name is Erica Hayasaki, and I am the author of Somewhere Sisters.
Hayasaki's Somewhere Sisters is no dry recitation of scientific evidence. It's a complex, at times heartbreaking, at times uplifting journey through the lives of three young women who had to find each other in order to find themselves.
Isabella was like her twin, Ha, born in Vietnam. I had a chance to interview their birth mother, and both of them, were born premature, and their mother had a hard time trying to care for them. She did not have a lot of resources. She ended up taking them to an orphanage, which I had a chance to visit as well. And one of the sisters, Ha, was very sick and was not admitted into the orphanage. But the other, Lan, she was admitted into this orphanage. And then she lived there for a couple of years and befriended another child who eventually was adopted with her and raised as a sister by an American family in the U.S. And they lived in Illinois, in a suburb of Illinois, and grew up in a loving home, large family in a wealthier white community, attending Catholic schools, having access to a lot of resources, and lived their lives. There were moments that are detailed in the book of experiences of racial discrimination, being Asian American in a predominantly white community, which is something I could relate to because I had also been raised in a smaller town in Illinois. She didn't really know about her twin for much of her life or think much about it, that she had a twin. She was living her life until one day her adoptive mother decided to try to track down this twin in Vietnam.
And tell us about that twin. Tell us about Ha.
Ha was also born in Vietnam, and she was the one who was sicker. She was adopted by her biological aunt and her aunt's partner and raised in a village in Vietnam, and also raised in a home full of love. She was an only child, though, not in a large family. And she was raised Buddhist, and she always described her life beautifully to me. Her days of playing outside, she didn't have toys, but she played with the dust and the pans and the river, and had this life that didn't have necessarily the access to any kind of resources the way her sister in America did. But also she lived a happy life. And you know, did not, she knew she had a twin as well. There's a moment in the book when her adoptive mothers take her on a motorbike to the orphanage with plans to try to reunite her with her twin. They're around 4 years old. But at that point, her twin had been adopted out already. And that was the last she heard for a long time. And she went on living her life as well until one day a white woman from America came into her village and explained that she was the adopted mother of her twin sister.
And I don't want to leave out the third sister here, who is mm-hmm. not one of the two twins, but can you tell us about Olivia?
She was in the orphanage along with Isabella. So her name was originally New, and then Lana New became Isabella and Olivia. And they were quite close in the orphanage. And because of that relationship, the orphanage reached out to the family in America and said, can you adopt both of them? And the family did, and raised them almost as if they were twins in the beginning, dressing them alike, in this neighborhood. And they eventually ended that dressing being dressed alike. They ended that practice because they didn't love it. But, they were raised in this household together as sisters, even though they're not biologically related. They've always been very close.
You have these kind of interspersed moments throughout the book where you'll just have a little language from one of the sisters. And sometimes they're painful. Sometimes they're funny. Sometimes they just sound like kids. And I do love this one piece where Ha is saying, I really loved being an only child. And when my parents wanted to threaten me, the threat was, I'll go adopt another kid. When in fact, she actually had a twin sister.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to include sort of the direct quotes from them in a kind of oral history type of way. I appreciated in this story and in these girls' lives that, they lived their lives without being obsessed or feeling like their other half was missing necessarily. And they do eventually come together and reunite and become very close. But they also didn't have that kind of narrative of feeling like they were incomplete in that sense, like because they had a twin that they didn't know.
Let's take a quick pause, and when we come back, we'll hear about when the twins met for the first time.
Have you ever had an encounter with someone that left you feeling a little braver?
I remember getting in a car and just driving, and it was just for curiosity's sake. That freedom led to like a lot of rediscoveries. Just for life, things became colorful again.
Join me, Helga Davis, for conversations with artists and thinkers who share my passion for living fearlessly. It's a new season of Helga. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We're back with The Takeaway and more of my conversation with Erika Hayasaki, author of Somewhere Sisters, a story of adoption, identity, and the meaning of family. We pick up the story when the twins, Ha and Isabella, meet for the first time.
Their reunion was much more awkward, uncomfortable. They didn't speak the same language. They were very young. And so you read it and you might think, you've been waiting for this moment of everything kind of coming together in that fairy tale way. But it's more than that. The entire story is much more complex and nuanced, and there's a lot of emotions, and particularly around reunion with adoption. There are a lot of people involved in those reunions, not just the people who are being reunited, but these sort of constellations of family members that are also impacted and have their own sometimes trauma and pain around when families have been separated or, children have been given up for adoption. There's a lot of emotions around that. And so I make sure to just tell it the way they told me And also to interview in the book, you know, I interview people who are experts in adoption, from whether they're therapists who are adoptees as well, or historians, various people who are working in adoption or who have studied adoption and are adoptees, to explain how complicated the reality of this is. It is not necessarily the narrative that we have become so accustomed to in our culture, particularly.
I'm wondering if there are key takeaways around questions of transracial, transnational adoptions that you come away with having followed and written this story.
I learned so much about transracial, transnational adoption, and that was why it was very important to me to have many voices represented in the book, because there's a long history of adoption in this country, and there's also a lot of history around the studies that have been done on twins and people who've been separated from their families. But also just transnational adoption or transracial adoption, for example, has a complex and painful history. Intercountry adoption goes back to, you know, after World War II, Americans adopting children, for example, mixed race babies from Japan after the Korean War. And then in the book, we really get into Vietnam and how adoption started after the Vietnam War with children to America. And there are some dark moments, speaking about, you know, the Operation Baby Lift, when a lot of planes were sent to Vietnam to bring home children that were supposedly orphaned. Not all of them were, but one of those planes crashes, and, you know, there are children who grew up that I had a chance to interview who, you know, lost all paperwork, never had a chance to be reunited with families, and also struggled with identity and racial issues when they were adopted into communities, oftentimes white communities. What this book hopes to do is to tell these stories that are beautiful and also at times painful, and to tell the story of the history and the complexity, and to kind of honor the voices of adoptees in different ways who have been living these experiences, and it really are the experts, because there is so much to learn from adoptees who are actively speaking out in different spaces, whether it's through art, literature, academia, on social media, and that's really important. That was important for me in the book as well.
I'm wondering also if you can put this in the context of, you know, I live in a very purple state, and depending on which town I'm in, it's not unusual these days for me to drive past a Planned Parenthood or a medical clinic and see people standing outside with signs that say, I will adopt your baby, or I'll take your baby, as a kind of response to the Dobbs decision, a kind of anti-abortion response, being adoption will solve it all. Does reporting this and helping to tell this story give you a perspective on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've heard that line often. Adoption's, you know, the answer to the end of abortion, and everything will work out that way. And that's been, you know, perpetuated online. And I saw those images of, you know, families who say, we will adopt your baby. And again, that's oversimplifying and really kind of perpetuating this one-sided view of what adoption is, which doesn't leave room for the complexity. And really, if you don't leave room for that complexity in the experience of adoptees, you know, you're just sort of ignoring what we've learned from generations of critical adoption scholars and adoptee voices, who are very clearly, for decades, have been saying, you know, our experiences aren't represented. You know, we have these loving homes sometimes, you know, many of them, there's all different kinds of experiences of adoption, but people will say that, you know, they can come from a loving home and still question the system or the experience that they've had. And that's the reality, because oversimplifying the narrative can be, harmful.
I'm particularly moved, I suppose, by what happens between Olivia and Ha, in part because they are not from the same first family, but find a way to love one another as sisters. I wonder if you can maybe end us a little bit on what happens in that relationship.
Those three particular sisters, Ha, Isabella, and Olivia, end up getting triangle tattoos to represent their connection to each other and to their family in the U.S., which they become united through. But how that comes together, Isabella and Olivia, one day after living their lives believing that they're U.S. citizens, come to find out that they're not, and like many intercountry adoptees, came to realize that there was a loophole in the law that allowed for many of these adoptees to come to America and, again, with the idea that they were citizens, and then waking up to realize that they are actually not after all these years here.
Erica Hayasaki is author of Somewhere Sisters. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.